finished up yesterday, the last piece of Torah, the Nosa Adoforche Kamash Malan. What exactly the pshat is in Mu'ad the Adam is Mu'ad the Behema, Mu'ad the Behema is not Mu'ad the Adam. We saw, we've already seen the way Rashi understood it. We saw the Chiddush of Tosfos that we started discussing on Thursday. And we explained that and contrasted that with the opinion of the Rama and other Rishonim that was brought in the Nebuke Yosef. Now Vayter. Says the Gemara. Neshicha tolada deshemi. Neshicha, we just said, is a tolda of shame. Right? We listed off four different things that were all that are told of Karen, including Neshicha. So Gemara doesn't understand. Neshicha tolada deshemi. Shouldn't Neshicha be a tolda of shame? If shame, biting, doing something with your teeth, is considered to be an av malacha, shouldn't it certainly be that the paradigm, the prototype, is biting? What more do you do with your teeth than biting? Good question, right? Bothering some of you guys as well. So what's the distinction between biting and shame? So it says the Gemara, lo. Shein yesh hana lezeka, ha ein hana lezeka. Shein, there is hana in the damaging, ha ein hana lezeka. What does that mean? What does that mean? Yeah.
Shame is referring to more like when an animal grazes on the field. So the damage it's causing is also the benefit. It's eating food, it's eating. But the shiva is more just
right.
Biting.
Right. Meaning, in the Havamina, we thought that what's going to define something as being like the Havamina, look at the action. So what action could there be that's more similar or more definitional to shame than biting? So of course it's included. The Kamash Malan is that we don't look so superficially in terms of defining avos and tovos. We have to look at the type of damage that it is. And there's a fundamental difference between a shame, which is eating or biting something when it's going to benefit from it, it's going to be getting some sort of hana'ah. And at the same time, when it's trying to get its hana'ah, there's also a damage. That is shame. Versus neshicha, which is considered to be biting for the purpose of biting. That is already something where the purpose is hezek. What does it fit under better if the purpose is hezek? Because the Gemara fits better under keret, which is the animal trying to be mazik with its body.
Yes? You translate hana lehezeka.
This has hana in its damaging.
It's not about Kamana, you're saying. It's talking about as a result, it's a Hanara.
What's the difference?
Because it's based on Kavana.
Again, Kavana.
You could have a case where you bite into it and get enough. That's like what the Rashba was saying.
Right. That's good. So that's the Rashba does make the point. The Rashba makes the point. And it says that the fact that the Gemara is distinguishing and saying that it depends on whether there's Hana Lazik or not, then theoretically you could have a biting which would fall under the category of Shen as long as there is Hana Lazik. So he says, for instance, if you have a biting in which the animal is biting the food or whatever it is, again, which the normal purpose is going to be for hana, but then it falls out of its mouth or something like that, and something happens, and it doesn't actually get the hana, it doesn't derive the pleasure in the end. So what category does that fall under? What category does that fall under? So as Rashba suggests, that falls under the category of shen. Right. Yeah, we have to be a little bit careful. I was thinking about this a little bit last night. You know, we can't overly focus on kavana when we're talking about animals. Right? The animals are not sitting there and saying, Hidini Mukhana Mazuman Vinashe or Lingoa. Right? There's only a limited amount of kavana. What we mean by kavana is more like, is the normal purpose of the action that's taking place. Meaning we have to sort of define it. We can't ask the animal afterwards, what were you thinking? Unless it's Mr. Ed.
Where is
it? Talking horse, Mr. Ed. Okay. This is really before my time.
Now it's Bojack.
That's who?
Bojack.
Bojack?
Bojack.
Bojack? Bojack?
Yeah.
Asa mission. Okay. Good.
Ah,
so when we're looking at the kavana, l'chora, more what we're looking at is why is this normally being done? What's the simplest explanation of the mice that's taking place? L'mashal, if the animal bites a person's arm and takes off a piece of flesh, and the animal swallows the flesh, will the animal be nourished from the flesh? Presumably. Is that considered to be the same thing as the animal leisurely walking into somebody else's orchard and eating an apple off of the tree? Or not? Right? Because the simplest way of interpreting the action of the neshicha, of the arm, is that that's not something that an animal normally, again, excluding lions and tigers and bears, which we'll have to talk about. Those are the Mishnah Gittas later on. Are actually mu'adah mechilasa. Those are inherently mu'ad because they are dangerous. So there's a fi of shmira. There's a fi of shmira from its inception. It's a fi of shmira from the beginning. So the fact that there that the animal is bites the arm, even if it's going to in the end get nourishment, is not going to be the way we interpret the action. Does that make sense? Meaning we have to sort of look at it like, why is this normally done? What's the simplest way of interpreting what the animal is doing? And within that, we look at this as something which normally is done lehana, right, to benefit the animal, or this is something which is normally done to damage. No, that's exactly what Rashi was saying.
Is not a common thing.
No, but the action is common. The result is not. That's exactly the Chiddush of the Rashi. Okay, the Rashi says. The Rashi says that if the animal bites onto the loaf of bread or whatever it is, and before it can swallow the loaf, it falls out of its mouth. So how do we define that? So we don't define it based on the weird part, which is that it fell out, even though it didn't actually get hung up. We define it based on what does the action look like? The simple interpretation of the action of the animal biting a loaf of bread is that it's trying to get its benefit. So even though it didn't, that's the chiddush, the Rashi, even though it didn't get its benefit, that's the yesh hana lazeka. It's that it's in the process of getting hana and the damage occurs.
So the Gemara seems unequivocal.
No, that's exactly how he's reading the Gemara. He's saying that the Gemara is distinguishing not between Karen and Shane. That's the line that somebody asked me about. When it says, the Rashba says that it's going back on the Shicha, right? It's going back on a Shicha Kai. That's what he means. This distinction between Yesh Hana Lazik or not is not distinguishing objectively between Karen and Shane. It's distinguishing between the action of biting. Between whether it's Yesh Hana Lazika or it's Ein Hana Lazika. But we look at it, it's the simplest interpretation of the action. And again, you have to say something along these lines anyway, because you can't sit there davening over the kavana of the animal. Yeah, Ryan.
Just a question. In the case where the animal bites the guy's arm and eats it or whatever, that's not
fair,
right?
Why not?
Well, that is
fair. That's exactly the point. That is fair. That's what I'm trying to suggest. Right. But we don't. But what was the kavana? Again, so kavana. So we're going to define kavana not based on what trying to get into the. Maybe you're right. Maybe the animal was really, really hungry. Maybe I have no idea. But this is an action which is normally defined for an animal doing it as a violent action.
Most animals that are biting are not doing
that. That are biting people that are alive.
Are which is from Hana.
Correct. Which is why it's considered to be abnormal. Neshicha is normally considered to care. The Arab Gemara says. The Chiddush of the Rashba is that once the Gemara explains that the reason Neshicha is not Shein is because there's no Hana'a in the action, is that you could potentially have a case where there is Hana'a in the action, and it's only biting. That was the Chiddush of that Rashba. I really think that Rashba makes more to have to define a little bit more what the Kavan is, not to bog this down too much. What the
case of Shein.
I'm not sure how you would.
Never
mind, it's not. Right. Oh, good. So that's the point the Gemara gave you. So again, on the surface, the Gemara asks the question you guys are bothered by. How do we have the Shicha listed as a Tolda of Keren? Isn't it obvious that it's a Tolda of Shein? So now the Gemara distinguished for us and says, no. No. The defining characteristic which is going to determine whether it's considered to be Shein or not has to do with whether there is Hana'a in the damage which is taking place. Here there is not. Good. So that's point number one in the Gemara. I got that other point they made about the lines and things like that being mu'ad from the beginning. So I had a balabas on Motzei Shabbos. I asked if I wanted to hear a rabbinic joke. I didn't have a choice, so I said yes. So he said that he was talking with his father about whatever exactly. He's a lawyer, and his father is a mashgiach in a very famous yeshiva. And he asked his father, he's talking about a piece of American law, and his father was, oh yeah, there's something parallel to it in halacha, that you're considered to be responsible automatically for certain animals because you take them to your shush. If you take a lion into your shush, you have a chiyuv shmira from the beginning, and you'll be chayuv for it. And he says, do you know why? So he said that the Amshar Shlomo, I didn't have a chance to look it up, because the Amshar Shlomo of Baba Kama says that the reason is, Eina Pachokos La'arayas.
Isn't that used for
that's the joke. But usually it's used Eina Pachokos La'arayas with an ayin, which means that we don't trust anybody when it comes to any sexual kinds of issues in the realm of arayas. Here was, it says nobody is considered to be guarded when it comes to our eyes. So the joke was that you switch it to an aleph, then it's lions. So ain't out the trump is our eyes. There's nobody who's considered to be a good enough guard for the lions. Okay, that's the rabbinic joke for the day. Weiter. What?
You laugh.
Oh, of course I laughed. I just said they have to be cute. I wasn't really expecting it. It was a good marabuckle. Get to that's a good. We'll have to find the Anshul Shlomo inside. I'll put it in the marble tools. We'll fire away our rabbinic joke.
He's holding.
Who's that? I heard another rabbinic joke over here at the host. No, another one.
Yeah.
How did
it go?
Why did the guy with the peg leg take it off on shooting at Zeros? It's a regular bit from the Atzma. Okay, back to let's go. Fine, here we go. So that's the Gemara. Now we're going to ask the next question that you guys were asking. Right, we had also on that list, right, again, what were the four original things that were on that list of Toldos of Keren?
Negifa,
Neshicha, Ravitza, and Ve'ita. So we covered Negifa already in the previous piece. Now we covered Neshicha, because we said it's not a Tolda Hashem. We said, it's not a Tolda Hashem. Ah! So what about the other two? Frack the Gemara! Revitza Ubeita told of the Regali. I don't understand. We just listed off that under the Avos of Shur, and one of the Avos is Regel. What bigger Tolda of Regel should there be than Revitza and Be'ita? So Be'ita, we understand that Be'ita is kicking. What do you kick with? You kick with your foot, your leg. Regel. What about Revitza? What's Revitza?
Squatting.
Why is that a Tolda of the Regel?
She explains
with
you squatting.
Oh, let's see Rashi inside. Zakt Rashi. See Moshe read. Yeah. Ravita told her the regali, three lines from the bottom.
Yeah,
so
the
ayat
three lines from the bottom.
Go ahead, hear a bit.
Through the legs, through the bending of the legs.
Oh. In a yeshua akbar, what's the pshat? What's doing the damage when the animal squats on something? Is it the body of the animal? Or is it the legs of the animal? So we may have said, well, it's the body of the animal. But the body of the animal is what's the weight, is the actual weight, which is causing the objects to be smushed. Or we say, no, that's passive. The active part of the animal that's causing the damage is the animal bending. As soon as the animal bends its leg, by definition, the rest of it's going to go stoop down and smush the zachen, whatever is there. Right? So we would say that maybe the total of the regal, because it's really the legs. If you think about it in a deep way, maybe it's the legs that are causing the damage, not the body. As soon as the legs are taken out, the body is, of course, gravity is going to pull the body down. But the legs were the support as long as that was taken out. I don't know, stronger, weaker,
not strong, same. Weaker, so why, if you just said for Shiva and Shen, that has nothing to do with that, then why are we trying to make, even if it was the legs that was from the damage, why are we jumping to say that, oh, there's legs and then, you know, like legs and legs, like, why is it, what's the, we really just said that it's not how.
Because, again, because the Gemara didn't reject the question, the Shane question, the Gemara didn't reject the Shane question by saying, well, the question was off base to start off with.
Yeah.
The Gemara was just saying that it's more than just what you're doing. It's more than that. So here also we have to ask the same thing. Is it just about the legs, or is there a unique characteristic which is present? Again, without there being a unique characteristic that would tell us to put it under Karen, it sounds like we would put it under Rego. Because it's more similar in terms of action. You know what I'm saying?
So it's asking the question.
I mean, I guess if there wasn't an answer, then we would have to retreat. But again, obviously, the Gemara was the whole time asking for a clarification. It wasn't questioning, you know, how the Braisa could say what it's saying. It's trying to understand the Braisa. It's asking a question for him. Good? Oh. So, Ravita Vita, the regulator says, no, low. Regal Hezekon Motsui. Hani Ein Hezekon Motsui. Very important answer. Very important answer. What's the distinction between these cases and between regel? That regel, one of the defining characteristics of regel, is how normal and common it is. Normal and common. Hezekun Motzoi. Says Rashi, the kol shor hi mehalachas v'yemyesh kulam tatas regleo hi doreses. Behema is constantly on the move. So as it's on the move, there's going to be something which is in its way. So it's going to give it a little bit of a kick. Whether it's intentional, whether it's unintentional, we'll have to discuss that. We'll discuss that in terms of the details of Rego. We're not defining Rego per se right now, but distinguishing. Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those Hebrew things that klum can mean something, can mean nothing. Depends on the context. Right? Oh, good. So what do you see from here is that part of the definition of, presumably, of Karen, is that Karen is something which is not common. Which makes a lot of sense. Because what have we been saying, what was the distinction that we've been making between Tam and Muad? Why would it be in Svara... Tam's not... The reason that the chiyuv of tam is lower, is less, is because it's not to be expected. It's not to be expected, and therefore you don't have a chiyuv shmira. But again, if it was something which was like, let's take the lion case, if it was something where you should have expected it, it's muad mitchilasan. It's muad from the beginning. So again, whether it's a definitional, we'll discuss that at some point, you know, in terms of more details of Karen. But it sounds like part of the chiddush in terms of Karen is that Karen is something which is not normal, not to be expected. And regel is to be defined as something that has to do with a regel, or somehow connected to the regel, because otherwise it will fit under a different category. But it's something which is going to connect in terms of it being something which is common versus Karen, which is something which is not common. Okay? So with that, the Gemara clarified to us why the toldos of Karen that are listed are in fact toldos of Karen and not toldos of something else. Good? Good. Not good. Good.
We extract from this that, or at least one of the characteristics could be, like for example, for shade, the reason we said that the shikha can't hold the shade is because there's no anah versus shame when there's manala hazika, right?
Yeah.
So, does that mean that tells us that any tolda of shame, like the only characteristic of to be a tolda of shame is that it has to be another hazika, or that's at least one of them?
No, at least one of them. Because we're not discussing, we're not trying to do a comprehensive analysis of shame yet. And that's the next tomorrow. Right? That's the piece that we started.
So, sitting for this, at least one of the characteristics is that it's common.
Correct.
To be regular.
Correct. But again, our sugya is the sugya of Karen. We're bringing in the other points because the Gemara mentions certain things that seem to stand out on the surface and not belong under Karen. And they were miscategorized. And we have to understand how to properly categorize them. Good. So now we've finished up this whole piece. Now the Gemara tells us Elo toldo seyin lav kayotze bohen the Amarat Papa. I'm sorry. Let's see one more Rashi first. One more Rashi first. We missed a Rashi. Hani ein hazeken matzoy, right? Which is going back on the cases of the Beita and the Revisa, right? Says Rashi, Hilkoch told of the Karen hay, the ein hazeko matzoy. So Rashi there throws in, and again, this is going to be important, two characteristics. Now, whether they're absolutely essential or not, maybe we'll have to figure out at some point, but Rashi seems to be telling us that these two factors that have now been drawn out from our examination of why Meshicha, on the one hand, and Revitza and Beita were not included, give us two important factors in defining Karen. Right, if Karen has to, which I mentioned before outside, we see it now explicitly, that Karen has to be something which is not common. And, well, he doesn't mention Karen as Hazik here because we had that already. That's not new. This is new. What?
Rashi already spelled these things out in Rashi and Beita. Already gave us three categories.
Where?
In Beita.
Oh, earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now Rashi is telling us where he saw it from. Rashi gave us before the heads up. Here, it's the sugya.
This doesn't come in the third
one. Because it didn't come out of the sugya. We knew that already before. The Gemara is going to say in a second. That's going to be explicit. These were not explicit. Oh. And then Rashi says, "Umishame chati nezek kikar." And you pay chati nezek kikar. Where did Rashi see that in our Gemara? But I just told you, Rashi didn't tell us this. Not common. That's correct. That's correct. But why is Rashi mentioning it here?
Kayotze
b'hen. You know what Rashi is doing for us? I think Rashi is reminding us of something we may have forgotten. Why did the Gemara go through all of this? What was the point of everything that the Gemara is trying to do until now? Is to try and explain whether the toldos of the Zikin are Kayotze Behen or are not Kayotze Behen. That was the original question of Beis HaMinhag. That was when we had our Papa came along and our Papa said that there are those that are Kayotze and those that are not Kayotze Behen. Then we need to figure out, which ones is it? Which ones are Kayotze Behen? Which ones are not Kayotze Behen? That discussion is what is the crux of what the Gemara is trying to figure out. We've been so distracted by the details of Karen and the totals of Karen that we may have lost track of what we're trying to figure out. In the end, and again, what is the question of Todosein, Kayotze Bren, or not Kayotze Bren? I think I pushed every one of you this morning on this. What was that question about? It was about the consequences. Right? We saw that when we saw the examples from Shabbos, when we saw the examples from Tumam. It was explicit in in Rashi earlier when he said, Hachamai. Yen that Rashi, right? That's the question. Hachamai. Here, when it comes to Karen, what is the totals of Karen? What is the din? Do they pay? Do they not pay? How much do they pay? That's been our question all along. Has that issue been discussed even once in the entire piece of Gemara?
No.
So Rashi does us a favor, and Rashi tells us, and once all these things fit in under Karen, and it's not Matsoi, and there's no Hana, and it has all the characteristics that the Gemara mentions elsewhere, Kayotze Bohem. You're paying Katin Ezra. Oh. How does he know that? So that question we can answer very, very easily in 1 second. Because the next line of the Gemara is going to tell it to us. That's a good question. But I think, and again, I don't know, it stood out to me. Rashi didn't have to say that here. The fact that you're paying Katzi Nezek does not directly come out of this last line. I think what Rashi was trying to set us up for is to make sure that we don't forget what the Gemara is trying to do. Because the next line of the Gemara is going to say, now let's look back at the Gemara. The next line of the Gemara says, so where this there, Papa said that there are some that the Todos are not like, that are not like Abos, what is that going back on? Ilema Ahani, if it's going back on these, what are you talking about? Maishna Karen the Kabanos and Azik, Mamunfa Shrasin Alapa, Hani Nan the Kabanos and Azik, Mamunfa Shrasin Alapa. Ella told, we'll explain that in a moment. Ella told the Karen the Karen. El Tolda the Karen the Karen. It's clear that the Maskana of the Gemara is that the Toldos of Karen are like Karen. That's where Rashi got it from.
Oh my God.
1 second. It's mine too, but hold on a second. Toldos of Karen are like Karen. Now, the Gemara just told that to us by showing us that they possess the Toldos and the Av possess all of the same traits. Kavanas and Lahazik. Mamoncha, it's your money. It intends to damage. It's a damaging act. Ain't a zikun matzoi, as we saw from Rashi. The ain't hanol zika. All of these details are included in the definition of Karen. And they're all present by all the totals. Therefore, it is Kayotze Bohem. Okay, now we're going to touch. Ah! Rabosai, every one of you should be looking at this Gemara. What on the face of planet Earth is the Gemara telling us? Did we ever have a question that the Avos and Tolos have to be similar? Of course they have to be similar. In terms of the form, in terms of the action that's taking place, if they're not similar, what makes it a Tolda? Right? If you're going to do an action, and that action has nothing to do with that Av, of course it's not going to be a Tolda. That was never the question. We said that explicitly on Beis Din Av. And that's why we brought the Raya's from Shabbos and from Tumma. Those were all halakhic distinctions, right? By Shabbos, the question was, are they the same? Are they not the same in terms of what? Are you going to have to bring a Chavos B'Shogeg? Are you going to kind of skiva B'Mezid? Was it? Well, if I do this type of planting versus this type of... But no! If it was planting, and the Av is one way, and this is similar to planting, that's an Av and a Tolda. I don't know what the Halakha is! That's a different discussion. when it came to Tumah. Not if I touch something, I don't touch something. It was, I touch something that's Tumah. It's a different level. Now, is it Tumah other Mekalim? Or is it Tumah other Mashkin? So how can the Gemara possibly be Poshay, tell us again, oh, guys, I got it. Tell us again of Karen, told us of Karen are just like God. How do I know it? Look at them, they're exactly the same. Hello? Hello? That's not the question we asked. And again, Rashi knew what was going on. What, Rashi didn't lose track of the Gemara. Rashi told us that it means in the end that somehow this statement of the Gemara has to mean that therefore they pay the same amount of money. But the Gemara never said it, and had the Gemara know it. Where did we prove that from? You have a stronger kasha than mine.
No,
good.
Not like stronger, better.
Does that so far make sense? You see the problem with the Gemara? Right? The Gemara is trying to prove that, so the same incident is in terms of punishment, and now gave us this beautiful description of the characteristics of Karen that doesn't tell me anything about whether I have to pay the same amount of money or not. Yes.
Two things. One,
is this the Oh My God?
No.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
These three things that it delineates, Funasul Hazik, Mamorcha, Usmira Salacha.
Yeah.
First of all, that kind of goes against what I just said before about the factors being Hana, Matsoi, and whatever. And second of all, these characteristics are very generic. These are very general, and these could probably apply to all the other ones as well.
What do you mean all the other ones?
Like, same thing if it's shame, right? It's your animal.
You have no, it's not Kavan Al-Hazik.
Why
not? That's what we said. Not Kavan Al-Hazik. Just walking along. That's what we said. So again, that's what I was trying to say before. It's not easy to get into the mind of the behemoth, but we have to look. Is it a normal action that takes place in the chorus, and that we don't, it doesn't seem like the animal is trying to do something to be damaging or something like that, but that's how we interpret it. We have to use our seikel hayashar, I would call it.
So you're saying the only one that has kavan al-hazik is
Karen? Yeah, that's part of the definition of Karen. Karen is going to be our category of when the animal is trying to damage. There are a few other details that are
okay,
significant.
Fine, but my first point is, I think that's the same, right?
I don't remember what your first point
was. Where are they getting these characteristics from?
Oh,
and it seems to be going against, like what we just literally said before, how it's based on other things, like on Masari.
Okay. So there are two points. Again, the fact that it's Kavanat and Hazak, Mishmiras, and Alephos, those seem to be givens. How are they given? The Gemara probably got it from the Mishnah. Right? The Chiyuv Shmira.
Doesn't say Mamoncha, though, Mishnah, does it?
Is
that Svara?
I think that's, at least in this case, that's obvious.
Right? Mamoncha maybe didn't apply to all four cases because they're not all from. Like, the boar, versus a rabbi that I cover, is not my mama. But Karen is limited to my mama. It has to be that I am responsible for it, it's mine.
We'll have to discuss the halachos of four. But you're right, Mamon might not apply.
But the Chiyuv Shmira, again, maybe this is an important point, right? We didn't know where the Mishnah got the Chiyuv Shmira from, if you remember way back before Rosh Hashanah. And that's what we went through some of the fancy Torahs to understand that it must be that there's a Chiyuv Shmira. So Gemara is assuming that again, so that just supports the same idea that was on the Mishnah. Why does it not mention these extra factors? I'm not 100% sure. Maybe because it just mentioned them. Maybe because they're not as definitional and there's an overlap between them. I'm not sure. It's a good point. The fundamental question, though, is extremely bothersome.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I pointed you guys to the Shita Mikubetzes. I don't need to see it right now inside. Basically, the Shita Mikubetzes asks the question in a slightly different way, but it's really our question. The way Shita Mikubetzes asks it is the Gemara starts out by asking, does it say Kayotze Ben or not Kayotze Ben? Nachamai, what's going on? And then, without seemingly proving that Karen is Kayotze or not Kayotze Ben, it automatically concluded that it was Kayotze Ben. Meaning, if the Gemara brought a Braisa And the Brisa told us, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Haboish or Shorosh Ravatz Chayev Chatzi Nezek. I would have said, that's a Brisa. If the Brisa tells me explicitly, if my shor kicks or squats on your thing, it's a pay Chatzi Nezek, that's exactly what we want. The Tolda, and it told us about the consequence. About the consequence. So that would be like Gan Eden, if we had a Brisa like that. But there's no Brisa like that. In fact, there's not a mention of a single word in the Gemara, we just said, about the consequence. So the Shita Kibetza says, what changed in the Gemara? How could it be that at the Gemara, the beginning of the Gemara was mistopic, and then, somehow, without ever actually proving it, the Gemara just changed its mind around? How you talking? How can that be? That's our Kasha. Bam Kasha. In this shot of the Gemara. Okay. So how do I know it? So, I know it from Rashi. Right, Hachamai, Rashi told us,
also, if you follow the other pieces.
But if you follow it through.
The Shabbos is based on the din. The Shabbos is based on the din.
They're all based on consequences.
What? How are they based on consequences?
Because the Shabbos case, we wanted to know. Loshna av chata, loshna tov chata. That's the result. We didn't ask, what's the form of the action that you are doing. So how did this change? Okay. So I'd like to share with you the following yisod, which hopefully explains this. Gemara, you gotta hold cup. You gotta hold cup. And it comes with the Hashgacha Pratzis story attached to it. What? Hold cup. You gotta keep your head in. What?
I'm saying I'm surprised Tosfos doesn't talk about this. Rashi doesn't
really
talk about this.
Right, so Rashi is very sensitive to it, but with this yisod, maybe we'll answer everything. So Maitre Shehaya Kachaya, this is what happened. I was going to Mincha yesterday in Dinek, and I went with my son. And we were going back from Mincha, and I asked him, what are you learning Shir today? And he said, today he's learning the second paragraph of Kama. So he said, my Rebbe told us the most famous Brisker Rav in Bava Kama. I said, is it the Brisker Rav on? No. Is it the Brisker Rav? I said, no. Okay, so which Brisker Rav did he tell you? And he goes, the one on Todosei and Kayotsei Bohem. I forgot about that one. It sounds familiar. So I looked it up again. The Brisker Rav has a piece, and again, it must have been something which really gnawed away at the Brisker Rav. Because the Brisker Rav writes this piece on the Sugi of Gemara of the Kama Bezer and Aleph, printed in his Chidushim on the Rambam. Meaning the regular Chidushim HaGriz al Rambam, big black book, which usually is beautifully sodos the Brisker Rav on the Rambam, it starts off, per X, halacha Y, it starts off as Baba Kama Bezer and Aleph. Which is out of character for the way the Brisker Rav wrote that Sefer. But this is basically what the Brisker Rav says without the riots. The riots will take us through all of Bava Kama, which is a little bit beyond what I want to try to do right now. And one of the Gemaras that he deals with is our Gemara, but his Yisod with Ora helps for this as well. The Brisker Rav doesn't understand our Gemara. Let's use our Gemara as a springboard because the Brisker Rav discusses it, and it works, and that's what we're holding right now. I don't understand. Like we just said, if we're looking for them to be, how can it be that at the same time we are looking at the characteristics of an Av and a Tolda in terms of defining them, and that's going to tell us about the Dinim, whether it's Kayotze Bohen or not? So says the Brisker Rav, the following is so. Says the Brisker Rav that there's a general chiyuv of nezikin that a mazik has to pay. And whether that's run down from the Rabbeinu Yonah, whether that's run down from the Yad Ramah, all those things that we saw
several moons ago.
Meaning that there's an iser to damage?
Yeah, there's an iser and there generates a chiyuv, whatever it is. Again, we know that there is a chiyuv, the Torah tells us that there is a chiyuv to pay. So he understands that there is, of course, we've got a clean board with markers on it. There is one general chiyuv to pay for an ezekiel. When we're looking for something to figure out if it's an av or a tolda, so we look how similar it is to the av or the tolda, and that will then tell us if that thing falls into the category of one of the ezekiel for which the Torah says you're obligated to pay. Right? So far, so good. Easy. The Torah tells us that if a person is mazik, and again gives us a few general categories, then a person has to pay for the hezek. Right? So when we want to know how broad is that? How far does that extend? So we say, well, there are avos, there must be toldos. So we look at the toldos, and we see, well, how similar is this to the action that the Torah said not to do? And then we figure out, oh, so if it's close enough, then that is something also which you're going to, for which you're going to be chayav.
The same amount?
Tolda, yeah, that's what a tolda is. That's what a tolda is. Nothing about what you're paying yet. That you're going to have a chiyuv to pay.
Right.
That's the... Oh. Then he says there's a second point. He said each av, and again, we don't know too much about this yet, but each av has its own specialty. Besides the general din, besides the... Guys, not now. Thank you. Besides the general din to pay, each av has its own unique, he calls them pturim. Most of the times it is pturim. There are going to be, when it comes to bor. So right, we had a drusha there of that it's you know bor. What did Rashi say? Sorry. Remember,
here's a question.
When it comes, let's say, by Eish, there's a drasha that if something is tumen, something is hidden, and then it's burned, so you're not hired for that.
You're going to be the enforcer?
I asked Rabbi Kaplinsky, but he did not respond yet. Maybe you guys also try to ask him.
More success. I talked to MTA though.
I spoke to MTA as well. Again, MTA has a room. My Tuesdays and Sundays, I don't have a time on MTA. That was a scheduling issue that they gave us a room that's occupied on those days. Because they have their room closed off there. I was told that they were going to be spoken to, but not coming in. Threatening their lives or something. So it comes to I believe that ish bor okay ish bor b'lech asem and afal shama shor or chamor. Torah says that you open up the bor, get up all the specific details, and the shor or chamor falls into the bor. So Rashi says, who has in the chol behema ochay? It's any animal. So why does it say shor chamor? Those are just the shor below adam chamor below kelim. A person falls into the pit has different halachos. Your pater, if it kills the person, it's different again. But there are unique halachos when it comes to boar. There are unique halachos when it comes to karen. For instance, we'll call it the tam and the muad, right? Oh. So it says the briskerav like this. The question of toldosei kayotzei bohen or not kayotzei bohen is a question whether a tolda of an av has the unique peturim of that av or not. It's not a question. Remember, we had that Rashi that was hard to read, where Rashi seemed to imply that Hachamai Rashi seemed to imply that for the saying are not kayotzei bohen, you're not going to have to pay. So we said that obviously it can't be. So the Briskerav also says that can't be. So what's the question? Once something is a tolda, then it falls under the general category, that is a hezek for which you have to pay. The question of if it's kayotze bohen or not kayotze bohen is a question of does it have the unique halachos of that av, or do we just say no? It's part of the generic chiyuv to pay for damage, and you're just going to have to pay no special halachos. Nothing about things that are hidden, nothing about a person and not animals, nothing about tam and muad. Good? So set, now the last step. Read the last step? Says the Biskarov, how is that distinction determined, whether it's Kayotze Ben or not Kayotze Bohen, to decide whether it has the unique Turim or not? Did you look at how similar it is to the Av? That if it's exactly like the Av, if it possesses every single trait of the Av, then why should it not have the same Turim? If it only has part of them, so then maybe it's enough to be considered to be an Av to be chayiv for nezek. But to say that it should have the special characteristics of that Av, that's not kayotze bohen. That wouldn't work. That's the pshat in our Gemara. So Biskarov says, once our Gemara proves that all the tomos that are listed here have darkam nahazik, mamom hashmirasan alecha, all the characteristics of a keren, todos keren is keren, even for payment. The way the Gemara was able to prove that it's going to be the same, that it's going to all be chati nezik, is by showing that the actions are not just similar, but they're almost the same. That's the yisod of the Biskarov. The question of todosei and kayoshe bohen is really a question of whether the todos possess the unique peturim, that's the language he constantly uses, which is true in most cases, the unique peturim of the Av, or if it's just going to be chayiv because it's similar enough and therefore falls under the general rubric of a chiyuv to pay for hezek. That's a Biskarov.
He's shot him up.
No? Hear that.
Bad part.
They're in understanding it or on it?
Okay.
So everybody get what we're saying? Say it once more. Let's say it once more. You're not going to sleep tonight. You know?
How does it draw practically?
How does what?
How does it draw out practically?
This, our Gemara. Okay, so again.
What, I'm saying, what characteristic of Shore, of Karen is going on to the Tullus?
So maybe this answers your question from before. Why does it only list these? Apparently these are enough to say that it's kayotze bohen. Maybe there are other characteristics which are part of figuring out if something is going to be similar or not, but maybe these characteristics are enough.
So you redefine what kayotze bohen is.
He wants to understand when the Gemara asks again, and we never had we never were completely clear on it, right? We were bothered by Rashi. When the Gemara asks originally, does the saying or kayotze bohen or not kayotze bohen, what is the Gemara asking? Suggests the Biskarov that what the Gemara is asking is, does the tolda of an av possess the unique halachic distinctions or pturim of that av? The unique characteristics that Aish has when it's not going to be chayiv, even though the damage occurred. The unique pturim that Bor has, where damage really occurred, but the Torah said for some reason that I don't understand, the Torah says you're not chayiv to pay. Does the tolda possess that or not? When it comes to Karen, and I damaged, my ox damaged your...
What do you mean, does it possess it?
My ox...
It's different. What's a tolda of a bor?
Let's take the tolda that we know.
So, yeah, I don't see how...
So take the tolda of Karen. Take the tolda of Karen. Karen's what we know. So I might have said, what's the ox of Karen? You know what Karen is?
Of Karen.
Is Gorn, right? Gedicha, right?
Karen is not.
Right. What's the action? What's the action of Karen? Gedicha, right? Okay. So I might have said that when it comes to my animal goring your animal, let's put it into terms that we can understand better. My animal goes and gores your Tesla, right? Gore is your Tesla. Now it's completely damaged. I caused you $30,000 in damage. Says the Torah, you only have to pay $15,000. You know what I'm like? Excuse me? You
Why? Because my animal caused you damage. Are you now out $15,000?
You know what? I don't know why. That's the din.
Chatzi nezek. You only have to pay for half.
Is that a din that we understand in svara?
Not really. It's God's logic. We accept it.
But if I was making a legal system, would I have come up with that on my own? Probably not. Probably not. But Baruch Hu, in his infinite, perfect wisdom, understand that that's really what's just. But I don't know that I would have come up with that on my own.
You're at $15,000.
Now, if that's the case that the Torah talks about, now my animal, my shore, comes along and squats on the trunk of your Tesla and causes $30,000. How much do you have to pay?
Depends.
It told us again. The reason that I definitely have to pay is because the animal is trying to damage. It's similar enough. I definitely have to pay. How much do I have to pay? So I might say the starting point is that you pay 30. Then I have to figure out, because it's damage, and that's how much damage my animal inflicted. If I want to be less than that, then I have to figure out, is there a reason amongst the various, we'll call them kulas, the leniencies of Nezikin, that would say to drop it lower? Says the Briska Rav, that's exactly what the question is here. If you'll say that a tolda of Karen is kayotze bo of Karen, then it gets that kula of Karen. That even though it makes no sense, that to me, my earthly feeble mind, that if my animal inflicts $30,000 because it was the first time I should only pay $15,000, then if the tolda is kayotze bo of the av, then I only pay $15,000. If it would not be kayotze bo, says the Briska Rav, then you have to pay $30,000. That's the damage that occurred, and you're within the realm of damages.
What if it's
with all the rules of Mu'ad, they don't change. Yeah, ain't nothing matter. Yeah, there are a lot more details to this. We're on base of a base. There's a lot more. I'm just trying to, in broad strokes right now, just to explain.
We just make a feeling between how we're understanding and what we're saying now.
It's not so much different. We just never articulated it this way, and therefore we were confused.
Is it cattle?
I'll tell you the difference is. The difference is that in the end, what the Briska Rav is being mechadish to us, is that the determining factor about whether I'm going to pay the 15 or the 30 is how similar in action it is to the op. We were trying to bifurcate the action from the chiyuv, and to say that the determining factor whether you're going to pay or not does not depend on the action, it depends on whatever the rules are to determine chiyuv. I don't know what those rules are. But the Briska Rav is saying they go hand in hand. The more similar it is to the av, that says that the dinim should be the same. And there's logic to that. Meaning what the Briska Rav has taught us is that there would have been enough similarities to make something an av, but it's not similar enough to say that it's kayotze, but that it should get the special dinim of the category. That's what we did never articulated before. And, I don't know, maybe it's obvious once you hear it. The person there doesn't disagree with the Briska Rav. We're not going to get there. But
that's what the
Briska Rav is saying, and that I think is a beautiful shot in our Gemara. But otherwise, it's very hard. Just in terms of shot in our Gemara, very hard to read the end of the Gemara here. Rachamim, you got it. You good? Aaron, we're good.
Yeah.
Okay. You done? We're rocking and rolling. Okay. Let's go. Let's go a little bit back there. We can start the. Am I missing anything here? No. Good. Let's go. We'll start a little bit the shame piece. We're really going to focus on shame. Be'ezras Hashem tomorrow. I'll try to understand this. Okay, but let's at least get it going. You guys see this Gemara? Some of you did. Some of you didn't. Not really. Okay. Let's just see it a little bit, and then we'll just in terms of the chat, and then we'll pick up. Be'ezras Hashem tomorrow. It says the Gemara. Again, the Gemara just said, "V'chi kamar Papa Hashem Rekha." Now the Gemara is suggesting that again, what was Rav Papa's statement? Did you get out and stop coming in and disturbing?
Okay. So I was thinking about the bathroom. I know you're not supposed to think about Torah, but I can stop. And I was wondering...
You're going
to
tell us here. Okay, I guess it's a good problem, but...
No, I'm saying, but... Really, Bethmas, we knew that the whole time. Meaning, no, do we actually... I'm saying, Rob, do we...
I satisfy your God. He's like, what was Mechadish? I mean, it was a clarity. I'll tell you what the difference is.
He's like, we knew, obviously, you were a punter for a Tola. The question was, is it the same type of thing you have to pay or not? Our question really was, so why do we bring out Kiyotzvan from identification?
Our problem is that how come we couldn't articulate what the Brisker Rav said when it's so obvious when you look at it?
I know.
Every real good Kiddush that you'll hear is obvious after you hear it.
Right.
Those are the good ones. The ones that you have to like, oh, that's cool, whatever. But like, don't really come out of text. Those are the fancy ones that are not, I don't know, to me are not as gishmak. But the ones where it's beforehand, you're like hanging on, trying to figure out, this Gemara makes no sense. And suddenly, it's like, how could I not have understood the Gemara? That's that Or HaGonos that was put away for the Tzaddikim in Mesa Gracious. That light. Or Torah.
Again, so our question was, based on why do we figure out Kiyotz Ben based on what? Just because it's characteristically similar? And the answer is like, that's doctor, what makes a Kiyotz Ben?
Right, I don't know, right? We never articulated that point. And because we didn't know. Meaning what was gonna be the criteria. What was gonna be, I don't know what the Habamino is. I don't know. But again, none of us had trouble at the time understanding that.
But what bothered us?
No, what bothered us is that we didn't know where the Gemara was gonna get it from. Maybe the Gemara was gonna get it from a drasha. Maybe we didn't know where the Gemara was gonna get it from.
But how did it get it from this? We didn't know how it got it from this. And the answer
was
how we established Kyoto then.
Everything was fine until the Republic
came along.
No, exactly. Tamar started off saying that, well, we learned from Shabbos, and
we had a subject before our Papa also.
No, yeah, then we
okay, but what was that subject even? Even with that subject, we had trouble understanding. We can't blame this on our Papa.
You're saying that
he's a good man.
You said it's obvious. I mean, it's obvious. Like the main question that brought all this is the question saying, well, obviously, like, what are we talking about? Like, obviously, the Toldos are like the odd because that's what makes them the Toldos.
Right.
But we're only talking about the punishment.
Right.
We brought right away a source of Chavos talking about how the punishment.
And then we brought a source. So there's the opposite. So we had one and one. It was tied.
No, the source of Tumas was not. They both were not. They're not comparable. Can't say for the problem opposite, they were incomparable sources.
The hours?
Yeah.
So the Gemara at least had time?
No. It had points to bring it. But
the Gemara wanted to show that sometimes it's Pegos Ibn and sometimes it's not. That was the backdrop to the question.
No.
Is that you can have an Av and a Tolda that are not the same.
No, because one wasn't talking about punishments.
It was talking about consequences. Punishments
are
available. They're both talking about consequences.
We're talking about halakhic punishments.
They're both, and here we want all that, what the consequences were.
Okay, so we're saying that's not exactly like Shabbos, that's not exactly...
Ain't nothing out of me, it's not. So what is it? That's what we're trying to figure out. How come I? It's exactly what the question was. What is it here?
There's no way Rashi, when I said Dilma Lowe, he meant that
I agree.
So Rav Papa's question is really...
Rav Papa didn't answer the question. Rav Papa gave an answer. We didn't understand his answer.
Rav
Papa told us it's Yesh V'Yesh.
Right. Our question was, we don't know how we got to Kiyotz Ben. How did the Gemara know?
Right, correct.
The answer is, Dafka by showing you a similar characteristic,
exactly.
That was the Kiyotz Ben that we're trying to figure out.
Exactly.
Why would we care about similar characteristics when it comes to punishment? Like, I don't know, I would say,
again,
like, for example, a very basic answer would be like, oh, like, when it comes to any types of damages you have to pay, like, you know, you have to pay back.
I'm not saying you couldn't argue with this. You can argue with this. Tell me, Chad
McMartin.
Don't tell me another word.
Okay,
the Brisker Rav has this Gemara to support. Well, I don't have a better job than the Gemara. We know that the Gemara had a question, and we assume that when the Gemara gets to the end and says the question is answered, that it has been answered. Brisker Rav gave us one answer. So they ask him this, how does he know that it's true? He knows that it's true. First of all, he has a bunch of rayas. Besides his rayas that he brings, he doesn't have another logical way. That's what this Gemara is saying. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. He's not even bringing the Gemara's own writing, saying that's shot. It's exactly what the Gemara is saying. Otherwise, this Gemara makes no sense. Now, if you have an alternate job to the Gemara, so we can have an alternate job to the Gemara, I'm okay with that. I don't have a good alternate job to the Gemara.
Yeah, but why is it these characteristics as opposed to the Gemara using the one previous?
So apparently these are more fundamental. Apparently these are more fundamental. The guy from the Gemara, not the guy from the Biskarov.
Did he touch that question?
The Biskarov? I don't recall. Again, I did not. I will admit I didn't get through the whole piece since yesterday's Mincha and today's Mincha. But again, you want to try to get inside. It's very, very, it's very long.
Wait, so all this your son has told you that's how you pick this up?
That I was very bothered at his Gemara, and then he mentioned his Brisket Raw about that. What did it say? So I said, what did it say? I'm trying to remember, and I was trying to jog my memory, and then I looked it up. And then, Ashkaka brought the story. Ashkaka brought the story. Okay, so again, I'm not saying he has to be right.
No, I was making a point that the question is good.
The question is good.
Yeah,
the question is very good.
Where it came from.
So, okay, so we know where it came from. No, so again, all that, except, again, it doesn't take away from the fact that our question was another question. Again, the value of our question to me was essential because again, my point throughout the year. It was our job is to make sure that every step of the Gemara flows. We don't have this. I'm not just saying everything the Rishonim happened to say on the Gemara. We need to make sure every step of the Gemara flows. This part of the Gemara did not flow because there was no way from what we had in the text that, again, the way we were learning it simply brought us to this conclusion. So we asked the right question for the time. The right question was, I don't understand. And Rashi tipped us in that direction by saying that the Chatzin is a Kiskiterim. But Rashi was trying to keep us on target that we're looking at consequence. But the Gemara didn't tell us consequence. With this, you understand, it's Hainohak. It's the same. And then the Gemara reads beautifully. Now we have a Mahalach in the Gemara. As long as we have a working shot in the Gemara that helps us read through the page without any bumps, I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I can sleep at night. If we have a second one, beautiful.
I just sleep last night. Okay.
Once he said it, I had a feeling where the risk was going, but I wanted to see more inside before I shared it with you guys. Before that, I didn't sleep well the night before. I don't know if it was because of this or not, but I have to be idea. Okay, let's just quickly see the next few lines that we can pick up with the Omer Mar tomorrow. So again, so when does Papa when he says Kayotze or not Kayotze, what's that going to go back on? Oh, sorry, so the other thing I have to keep in mind, though, is if this Biskarov is correct, then it should work in all the other cases of Kayotze bands that we should be looking at the consequences. So it's just on the back burner, it works beautifully, or we have to pay attention, does it really work throughout? I don't have the answer to that or not. We have to see how to go through the models. Oh, so really, it's going on Shane and Rego, which were the other two Avos within the category. Sure, that were mentioned. Why are Shane and Rego mentioned together? But and same pasuk before. That's the reason they're learned out from the same pasuk, so we kind of group them together. I think that's the reason. I don't know. I didn't see that anywhere, but I see also. Good, thank you. So Shane regular and Xivas, we have to go back to the same basic question. If these are going to be avos, they have to be written. Disanya v'shilach zaregel v'shilach in the pasuk of again. Yavar Ishta Del Karim, Mishilat as Be'iro, Be'iro refers to an animal. He sends his animal into somebody else's field. How do we know that Mishilat refers to Rego? B'chein Omer, Mishal a Rego, Hashemor Ashor, Vachamor Ubir. So you have a pasuk that puts together Rego and Shilat. So good. So we have a pasuk that the Nath, which defines for us what Shila is referring to. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Right, good, sorry. Ubi'er, Zohar Shein. That's referring to Shein. V'chein Omer Kasher Yiva'er HaGalol Ad Tumo. So we bring a pasuk which talks about Ubi'er and not Shein. Doesn't mention Shein. What's the word talking about? So here Rashi talks about Galal. What is Galal? So here Rashi tells us that has two shots. Galal hainu shein. Galal is referring to shein. Why? Shefa'ame megula ban mechuzak sivei ivar. So, Galal is referring to shein because it's coming from a lashon of gilui, something which is revealed. And teeth are either revealed, smile, right? Or covered if we're not so happy. Right? Or the Shnachrina Galal Zerbrei. That Galal refers to what it normally refers to, which is manure. Zerei. Now, what does that have to do with teeth? We're trying to prove teeth. Shashain Eris, Michael, the teeth destroy the food, and then it can be turned into Naaseh's Galal, and then it's turned into the manure. Kamo Galal, Adma Galal, in other contexts, we refer to fecal matter as Galal. Again, we have a Pasuk in Mishpatim, not to get all the details of Pesach Hashem, but we have a Pasuk in Mishpatim. That's teaching us Shein and Regel, that's what we need. It's not explicit, but the same way we used beforehand, the Pesukim in Nach as a dictionary, as a way of defining what the word means, so we do the same here. And now we have a source for Shein and Regel being considered the Avos, the details of which we'll have to continue with the Ezras Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach Avos, good job.